yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm going off 4 hours sleep, so I'm tired. I had to help a friend move for 6 hours. I'm sore. Then I had to go to work and work a work shift. So I'm cranky. That said, I'm Mo, and I'm really excited to talk wrestling because, let's be honest, some really interesting shit happened this week.
That's right. The announcement that Hillbilly Jim returns to SmackDown.
Yeah. Let's go for that on the next hour.
Okay.
Now, honestly, we should be calling ourselves We Talk WWE because that is what we're going to be focusing on once again, or We Talk Brock Lesnar, maybe.
Prosthetics.
Yeah.
We talk Zach
Gowen. Oh. Zach Gowen is not going to be something we're talking about, actually.
No, but the man who almost didn't hire him is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, so a lot of shit happened. Do we want to start off? We'll start off with the big news of the week. The expected, I guess, in most sort of online circles.
Yeah, let's go back to Hillbilly Jim.
Return of Hillbilly Jim. close to Hillbilly Jim, the man that's recluse in the woods of South Dakota.
Close, actually.
Don't go messing with the Lesnar boy. Brock Lesnar returns to WWE returns.
No, we're going to talk about this now. We're not going to save it as the main event like we usually do.
Well, I was trying to ask you, and you gave me no direction.
Well, but when do I?
It's true. That's true. You want to save it? You want to talk? Let's save it. Okay.
We'll save
about Brock Lesnar.
It's a tease, folks. We will be talking about Brock Lesnar. The reason why is because I think you got an email question on Brock that we probably want to get to, and that's the reason.
That's true. Okay.
That's the reason
right.
why
you're
I think
right.
we will
okay,
save
fine.
It.
This is the greatest show open we've ever done.
Well, pretty much.
Let's talk about let's go on a low tangent here. The passing of Chief J. Strongbow.
Yeah.
He was in his 80s. I don't have in front of me exactly how old.
Yeah, I believe
he was.
What was he started watching wrestling in 1947, they said?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the video they did for him.
Yes, on SmackDown there, very good.
So good.
Yes.
That was it. And you know what? You watch him and you watch this guy at the time in his 50s and, you know, a little rotund or whatever, but he's sliding through, doing baseball slides through people's legs and the chops and moving really good. And you think, I didn't really get a chance to watch him wrestle. I mean, because he was pretty much phased out about the time I started getting into WWE.
How I know you're fat when you said he was a little rotund. He was fat.
He was a bull rotunda.
Yeah. But he did have a couple of things. I mean, he did have a long career. I mean, I never really saw him.
No, not too much. A little bit.
Degree.
A little bit in some of the Coliseum home videos. But yeah. I tell you where I really know him from was some of the great stories that regarding him and Bret Hart and Bret Hart's book.
Yeah.
So he's all over that thing.
Honky Tonk, a big fan. No. But, I mean, they did in that video, what I liked about it was they went through his career. They also talked a little bit about him and the national expansion with Vince McMahon.
They said that he was a key player.
Yeah.
You know, they almost put him up there with Vince and with the highest level guys being important in that expansion.
Well, and he really
I think that
was
pretty cool. Yeah, but you know what? It's nobody would have known that until that video. And I think that's really good that they acknowledged his role in helping WWE get to where it is today.
The business, yeah. And I mean, they had Gorilla Monsoon inducting him into the Hall of Fame there.
Just a quick clip, but yeah, he went in what, like 1995 or something like that.
I think 94, 95 when they first brought it in. I think in the same. I think he was in that. Andre was the first one on a class by himself in 93. There, I think.
But I think then, so. Yeah.
I think it was in 94, 95. Yeah, he went in that era anyway. And they showed him with Wahoo and Tatanka when they put over Tatanka back in 93, 94, that sort of era when they were doing that. So
yeah, I will be absolutely be. I think I'll be going to YouTube and watching a few videos of Chief J. Strongbow for sure.
I won't. I might drink a Strongbow. How's that?
Actually, that's a better idea.
Yeah, that's a better idea. Then I might watch one of his matches because not Joe Scarpa apparently when he was there and he was the Italian Joe Scarpa in Florida, he was apparently known as a very technical wrestler. Not mm-hmm. And then it wasn't, of course, until he got the gimmick of Jay Strongbow that it didn't really
And
he wasn't a worker then. He was the chop. He was the war dance, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? He was one of the, you know, top two or three most popular guys in the company as well.
Oh, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that that's, you know, one of those sort of changes that he could go. He just wasn't asked to as the chief. As
wait a second. You're saying he really wasn't native?
It's strange. Strange. I don't
wrestling.
I don't get that either. I know. That's like a Samoan Japanese guy. It doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
So anyway, our condolences to the friends and family of Chief J. Strongbow passing away. Someone who didn't pass away, Larry Zbysko, alive and well. Twitter rumors surfacing that he was dead. Not dead.
You sure?
No, he's just stalling.
You'll see that all the time on Twitter. You go on Twitter all the time, and it'll say RIP and then a name.
Yeah, I know. You can't.
It's Twitter.
It is. But that's what it was. He showed up in an indie show over the weekend. So, you know, that was just that was that. So, kind of moving on from there. Let's get into the television this week. Let's get into do we want to go backwards then and start with SmackDown.
Sure. I'm into that. Let's go that way.
SmackDown. To me, the big story is SmackDown, and maybe even the big story, not the big story of the week necessarily, but a big story of the week, and we can hit both shows with this, the post-Mania debuts.
Yeah.
You know, it was a staple to debut guys over the summer for years and years and years.
Well, one of the reasons why it was once a staple, though, was what the feuds had concluded. At SummerSlam, it probably has been what, like 1997 since feuds have concluded at SummerSlam, 1996. I mean, it really has been a long time, even though I still think of it that way.
But even when you go back to 95, you had Shawn turning babyface, and that I guess concluded that, so then Sid could go on and have that stellar feud with Diesel.
That's right. But no, not 1996. Yeah. I mean, I think it concluded pretty much. But 1997, Bret Hart and Austin kept going, right? I think Sid and Taker kept going.
Bret and Shawn kept going. I mean, not so much. But I wouldn't really call that a feud. Exactly. I mean, what were the other feuds? And Savio Vega and Steve Austin didn't conclude in 96 at WrestleMania. They had that Caribbean Stramash.
Yeah. So really has been probably 1995 where kind of feuds. So even though we still think of it that way.
That's true. We never did get a rematch with the Allied Powers against the Blue Twins for Mania 11. So that would have been 95, right? LT never got his revenge against, or Bam Bam never got his revenge against LT. So that
never got his revenge against LT.
Anyway, pretty much it
built up to those feuds and they ended.
Regardless, but the other
1998, Undertaker and Kane still faced each other afterwards.
But
right?
The other thing it did do was it allowed new guys to debut in the summer so that when it come time for Mania, they were ready to have their first maybe undercard. You think of Ultimate Warrior debuting in the summer of 87, so he could have his first Mania feud with Hercules, for God's sake. Like, this wasn't like a main event deal, but this was his
first. They didn't really have any plans for him at the time when he debuted.
No, that's right. But it ended up being enough. You know, having that almost year there.
Yep.
You know, Demolition again debuting that summer. That's one thing is that
we saw a lot of debuts here, and not only did we see a lot of debuts, but I think there's probably more to come. It's more than I could think of.
I don't think Mordecai is coming back.
You don't think it's more to come?
Oh, your mom.
Damn it! Beat me to it by a half second.
That's what she said. But I think there will be some more debuts.
I think there will be some more debuts that will happen soon.
That will happen soon, yes. But
I mean, five debuts. I mean, think about it. When Brock debuted, I don't know, was there another debut when he debuted? Maybe Batista shortly after, but in a different way.
I think Batista was before. I think because Brock debuted again the day after Mania.
Last year it was Karma, I think, right after Mania, right?
That's right.
But, I mean, it's not usually this many. You could usually think of one or two. I mean, there was five debuts if you include Brock.
And like this, Lord Tenzai looked pregnant. So
Actually, he looked in way better shape than he did last time I saw him as Albert.
He's not carrying twins anymore. But let's start with Lord Tenzai, because he was the first of the week to debut, really.
Yeah, I wasn't as low on it as you were, but why don't we talk about it? About Lord Tenzai, Prince Albert.
Well, that's A-Train. The thing, is A-Train, Albert, Lord Tenzai. I mean, they did, when he was coming down looking like Quang, and that...
Yeah, I thought that was stupid.
That, I believe, was actually what Quang wore. Like, I'm not even, like, pretty sure that's what it was.
Talking about Santa Vega.
Yeah, and... But he comes out, and I thought that was stupid. But as he's coming down, he's got the cover on his face, so you still can't see. You know, Michael Cole and Lawler talking about how this was a former WWE superstar who has left and come. Didn't call him, say who.
No.
But just WWE superstar would come in name.
And then they really put over Japan, though, in the competition over there, and said he mauled everybody over there.
He mauled over there in Japan. If you know anything about the ruggedness of Japan, you know how tough this guy is.
Yeah, exactly. But, I thought that was strange. It's like either re-debut. If you're afraid people are going to recognize him, then actually say he went over as he was Prince Albert here, who's an upper mid-carder, but now he went over there. Just, you lie. Because you could say at one point in time
he was the Intercontinental Champion.
He had a very short run, but there was a point where he was challenging Undertaker and stuff like that, right?
At that point,
you can call him an upper mid card or something.
Hip hop hippo.
But you basically say former upper mid card or something like that, or former star here, who as dominant as he was here was nothing compared to how dominant and how he has evolved to the next level. And he has taken on their culture and come back as Lord Tensai. So you can actually acknowledge it and make it part of the storyline instead of just kind of throwing it out there and then leaving it and it's confusing.
But you know what? They did. And
they didn't just do this with him, speaking of the debuts, but we'll get there.
Well, no. But with Lord Tensai, I think, you know what? You've done it, and then, you know, you're not – they're going to drop it. They're like, you know, they're not going to get it. It was like –
Actually, I don't think they are going to drop it. I think they're going to acknowledge that and bring that up a couple more times.
They may, but I mean, to me, that's no different than the Texas Tornado Kerry Von Erich, and then he just become the Texas Tornado. You know what I mean? They kind of acknowledged it, but then
Kane the Undertaker became just the Undertaker.
That's true. But you know, those sort of things. But anyway, I was bored. The thing was that the squash went on too long. Against Alex Riley there.
Well, they wanted to show off a lot of moves for him. It was one of the things.
But
there was the one where he jumped up in the air and landed flat and just literally squashed him.
Well, that's like, Lawler said squash, and I thought, yeah, no shit, squash.
Yeah.
Squash.
My problem with
Alex
Riley. You say it went on too long. My problem is they put them in there with the wrong guy. Number one, they put him in there against a guy who's like 6'3", 6'4", so he doesn't look as big. And number two, who you want to put him in there with is, I mean, I guess it's difficult, but, I mean, Dolph Ziggler, right, is the best bumper they have. Heath Slater, though, takes great bumps. Tyson Kidd takes great bumps, right?
Tyson Kidd or Yoshitatsu.
You want somebody who's going to really bump, like, Alex Riley doesn't know how to bump very well.
No.
So he's not the right guy to get him over.
Tyson Kidd would have been the best guy.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He would have, because Tatsu, you get that Japanese thing and you just, you know, so you don't do that yet.
No, exactly. So that's it. I mean, that was one of the mistakes. Was they put him in there against the wrong guy, against a guy who's not really a good worker. And I'm sorry, when you're trying to get over a heel, that's why these good workers, these guys were constantly brought back. The guys that used to be the jobbers.
Yeah.
On
Stone.
Well, these guys, you know, that you used to see in the 80s when they had these squash matches.
Gilbert.
Well, but, okay, Lanny Poffo is a good example.
Yeah.
Right? These guys could, they were such, they were excellent, they were some of the best workers in the company.
Barry Horowitz.
Their job, Barry Horowitz. They really were some of the best workers in the company. Their job was to make the other guy look like $1 million, and they knew how to do it. And that's where Alex Riley is just a shitty first choice.
I mean, they did need a low man on totem pole babyface, but all it looked like to me is that they just looked at the depth chart that they've got and went to the bottom of the babyface and said that guy.
And
gave it really no thought other than that.
Yeah.
And either way, regardless of the right guy or not the right guy, again, it was move after move. It was slow, it was plotting. The finish was stupid, where they just, I give up. Like, I mean, I understand that finish.
So the referee calls the match.
Yeah.
And then
I understand that finish, but that move didn't look devastating. Like,
I think it was supposed to be
I know, but it didn't.
A cumulative effect, right?
Yes, that's what it was, and that was stupid. Because to me, you knock him out with the one move, the deadly move, and then people fear the move.
But then they kind of brought that move up afterwards.
No, they got a fucking claw. And nobody gives a fuck about a claw. We're glad Kane stopped using the fucking claw. It's retarded.
Well, I'm glad
Shane Douglas uses the claw.
Yeah. Well, here's the... Well, Kerry Von Erich.
Yes.
But any move can get over if it's sold the right way.
You know what's not going to get over? The claw.
Any move can get over if it's sold in the right way.
Yes. You know what's not going to get over? The claw.
The mandible claw got over, and it's a stupid move.
Well, yes, but it was a different time. And I think that
the cobra gets over to some degree.
Yeah, but the cobra is over as a comedy thing. The people's elbow was a comedy.
People buy it as a finish now, though. When he hits it, people buy it as a finish.
Well, the same way the worm was a finish. It was just a comedy thing.
The worm was never really a finish. But.
Well, just because he never won a match.
Hip-hop hippo.
Yeah, speaking of the hip-hop hippo, there he goes. It all comes full circle. But anyway, I don't have anything against... The other thing is, as soon as he took
off
the mask...
There was a little bit of a gasp of people who recognized him.
Yeah.
Not the same level of a gasp as when Punker Taker took off his headset, right?
Right,
His hood. But, I mean, though he looks a little bit like Punker Taker now that I think about it. But anyways...
It was very clear. I mean, like... That's fucking Albert with a tattoo across his face.
Yeah,
like,
he's Japanese.
Yeah, and it's a very distinct.
Yeah.
Albert has a very distinct look.
It probably was the quietest that crowd on Monday, who was so hot, was all night.
Yeah, that's right.
But my thing, why I don't think it's a complete failure, is okay. So you got a guy in there. You bill him as a monster. He hits a lot of moves.
Yeah.
He looks devastating. He looks tough. He looks like somebody you don't want to fuck with.
Meh.
That's what they're trying to do, and I think they succeeded in that.
I don't know.
It's, you know what, it's only week one.
He bored me, and that's what he got over, and I didn't think
it. You have a short attention span to go with a short something else.
But the thing was, is nothing looked devastating. Like, that was, to me, it's like he didn't, like, he was,
I don't
let's
know
move
about
over
that.
To Ryback, okay? Ryback hit a series of impact maneuvers. Ryback, who debuted on SmackDown.
I don't remember. I remember the debut on SmackDown. Here's the debuts I remember on SmackDown. Damian Sandow debuted,
uh-huh.
And Brock Lesnar had his first match back against Barry Stevens.
Barry Stevens, yes.
Yeah.
That's the debut I was talking about, Barry Stevens.
Brock Lesnar killed him?
Brockberg?
Is that what you're talking about?
Brock Lesnar, no, that was fucking Adam Bomb from 3 Mile
Island. That was Lesnar. That Ryback, that's Lesnar. From the music... was Lesnarific. The gimmick is Lesnarific. Even the way he jumps onto the ring, Lesnarific. They've given him, without noticing it, Lesnar's gimmick when they just brought back Brock
Lesnar. Well, yeah, but I...
He looks like Lesnar. He works like Lesnar.
He doesn't really look like Lesnar.
Yeah, he does.
Maybe he looks more like Goldberg to me. But either way, he did a series of impact maneuvers. He hit the fisherman brainbuster thing. He hit that almost like a jackknife type thing that goes, the suplex that goes into the power slam. And he hit it, moves into the corner. He was deliberate, and it was not as long. It shouldn't have been. But the worst thing they did in that match was they let that fucking jobber get a promo. And then they kept going to the back where other jobbers were looking at laughing for some
reason. Two things about Ryback, if you think that's more successful, and it is. And I think Ryback does have something of a future though I think too many gimmicks. You didn't make a Funkasaurus like Mark Henry because you already had a Mark Henry. So, I mean, I don't know.
We'll wait and see on that. Yeah.
But as far as him looking better than Prince Albert, two things. Number one, he was in there against a guy who's about 5'8", 160 pounds.
Well, 160 pounds, definitely, yeah.
And number two, that guy is a way better worker than Alex Riley.
Yeah. That's fine.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's why it was effective.
Well, in part. Yeah, but I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying... It fucking happened,
yeah.
Right? No, I don't care why it happened. Right now, Ryback ahead of Lord Tenzai. It fucking happened.
So Kelly Kelly was also there?
Yes. That was 160. Oh, no. Ryback and is ahead of Lord.
No, she's
Ryback
down.
Is ahead of Lord Tenzai.
160 men this week.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
You got paid pounds. What? Ryback is ahead of Lord Tenzai in week one of their careers at this point.
Ryback's ahead?
Ryback is ahead.
Really?
Right now.
Al Snow jealous?
Yes. Yes. Your mom gave Ryback the head. So.
Yes. My mom gave Ryback a head?
Yes.
Just a little head.
Just a little head.
Just a little head.
Speaking of which, we didn't talk about Lord Tenzai come out with, what's his name, Shinjimoto?
Yeah.
Or something?
Speaking of giving somebody a head?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
what
little,
do you want? Something you want to tell me?
Pool boy.
Something you want to tell me?
No.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's part of the gimmick, too, is they have a... I don't think this guy wasn't in FCW or anything, was he?
I don't know what he was from.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
I don't even know if he's a worker or what the deal is.
I think he's a Japanese trainee, like, for... But anyway.
Okay.
But, so we talked about Ryback. We talked about... Any more you want to say about Ryback? No, just you think he's Brock Lesnar?
I think he's Lesnar, but
I think he does.
He's very, very intense.
Mm-hmm.
He does have a great, I think he has a future.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that the wellness policy is so fucking effective,
mm-hmm.
and that they no longer push people based on their physiques.
That's right. Well, where is Mason Ryan?
Well, you know what? He is Mason, that's it, and he's also Mason Ryan, he's Ezekiel Jackson, he's all those things, but I think he's much more talented. He has more personality. When he was Skip Sheffield in Nexus, and they acknowledged that he has been out with an injury, mm-hmm. and he was on NXT. They never said that he was in Nexus.
They never said that he was Skip Sheffield.
No, they never said that. They said he was on NXT and he's been out with an injury, so he could have been out injured from NXT.
Right.
But the point is that, which is fine, again. But the point is that he when he was part of Nexus, he was really starting to emerge there, the personality, show that intensity.
Yeah.
He just had the shitty gimmick, still in the shitty name. So this is a much better fit for him. I do think he has a good presence.
Yeah. So that's the second debut. Damian Sandow.
This was just a great little promo.
It was, yeah, it was just a
on SmackDown.
Vignette there on SmackDown. Said looking like Zach Galifianakis. Looks like he's going to be sort of doing almost like an old school, and it almost looks like he had Bob Backlund's old blue robe with
nice. I think that's it. It's kind of that old school Bob Backlund, gimmick.
Yeah.
That
throwback,
kind of gimmick. I'm a sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better than you. I'm more sophisticated than you, and I'm a great athlete.
I'm here to save you.
Yes.
You're welcome. He said. Right.
Yes, that was great.
So he took stuff from Jericho and Perry Saturn.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So actually, and that was my first thought, actually, when he said, I'm coming to save you. And I'm like, save us 222 or whatever that
was.
Yeah,
save us from, what was it, the entertainment aspect of the business.
Yeah, so he's going to be a throwback, that kind of heel.
And I like it. And you know what? I think right now, I think they have a lot of that going on. I think Jericho, like what Jericho did with Punk,
but heels,
is old school heel type of heat again.
But heels can't be boring, right?
Hopefully they never mention anybody's boring.
No, that's right.
And that's the thing. It's like Jericho's very much behavior and his attack on Punk was old school heel heat.
Well, do we want to talk about that now? Or
sure.
Why not? All the debuts that we got? Well,
no,
Brock, obviously.
Brock.
Do we get anybody else? Do we miss anybody? Who?
I'm sure there's somebody because that was only three, and there was four.
Yeah, Brock.
No, there was five.
Shinji Noto.
That's it.
There, done.
We're done.
Book it. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else that debuted. AW.
Ah, AW. A&W.
A&W.
The Bear.
The Mama Burger.
AW is Abraham Washington. And basically, what they said was he approached Mark Henry after Henry defeated, fairly clean, CM Punk, and said, you're not really on a roll anymore, even though he defeated CM Punk fairly clean. Doesn't count out, but whatever. And destroyed him, but then he said, you know, I can get you back on track, and he offered his services.
Yes.
Then they said on SmackDown, more interestingly, was he's been recruiting a lot of superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like he could be an old school heel,
or not an old school heel, but a manager again. Yeah.
Probably a sports agent type. I worry that his gimmick is going to be too similar to David Otunga because I already kind of feel like there's a certain I don't know. There's
the thing with David Otunga, though. At least David Otunga is in the ring. I mean, at least that's not a good thing.
And we can hope
that he is in the ring.
Abraham Washington, because apparently he's in a good worker, won't be, though I'm not 100% sure
well,
of that.
Well, the thing with Otunga is you talk about the wellness policy, of course, so he's
yeah,
going to be in the ring. And Abraham Washington doesn't have that, right? He doesn't have the look, right? So
I don't know. I mean, he's in a suit. I couldn't really tell that. But I do worry that the gimmick is a little too similar. That's the thing. I'm worried that I could see some similarities there.
Yeah.
But
we'll wait and see. I mean, the fact is that they're saying that he's doing a lot of recruiting. So that's
and also, from what I understand, is and of course, I've watched him on saw him on ECW, so you wouldn't have bought
yes.
this on the Abraham Washington show or any interaction. I believe, didn't he interact with Mark Henry there? I can't recall. I think he might have interacted some with Mark Henry over in ECW, but what he was doing was this kind of, I don't know, talk show type deal that he was doing with Tony Atlas, and it was awful. Of course, Tony Atlas and his little laugh in it was playing Ed McMahon was awful, but anybody who saw him in ECW wouldn't think that he has any talent or any reason to be there.
Well,
my understanding is he's a very good talker.
Apparently, yeah, he's a very good talker. Now, the thing is with, you talk about, does he have an interaction with Mark Henry? Well, Mark Henry was the ECW champion about that time, and there was a time when Tony Atlas managed Mark
Henry,
think
that was
right?
before Tony Atlas became the...
But then he went, I think that was his next thing,
his
right?
next thing,
so,
was,
yeah.
Maybe that's where I'm
so
thinking.
That could be the connection there. But, we'll wait and see and see where that... I mean, he's obviously going to manage Mark Henry. That's fairly... Unless Mark Henry turns heel or turns face on him. Because I do know when on SmackDown there, when Otunga and Henry beat R-Truth, Otunga's doing the big posing, and Henry's like, you owe me one.
Henry hit the World's Strongest Slam, was about to pin him.
Yeah.
Otunga demanded to go in the ring. And Henry was certainly giving him and Laurinaitis a look. He's giving everybody that look. He was awesome. I don't know if you noticed this. Coming out to the ring, he's walking out to the ring, and he stops and he looks at him and goes, don't cheer me. How the hell dare you cheer me?
Yeah.
And he keeps on walking, and I'm like, he's great in his character right now.
Yeah, he's the anti-Big Show.
He is.
You know, Big Show letting the kids touch the Intercontinental title there, right?
Yeah.
Shaking their hands or whatever.
I hope they transition Cody Rhodes out of Big Show pretty soon, because I don't think he's not going to look good in this. So, and I want to see bigger things for Cody Rhodes, so...
Yeah, but is that bigger thing with the Intercontinental title beating the Big Show and then moving on?
No, I think it's... Well, I mean...
What else is there?
I don't know. Maybe... See, I don't know. That,
I don't
that's
like
difficult.
Him and Sheamus.
No, not yet.
And you got some time, because you got Del Rio and Daniel Bryan.
We keep on talking about how they need to turn somebody babyface because they have more heels. And,
right.
You know?
Cody.
I think Cody's character is well suited right now to the heel character. He's found that character again. Of course, I also said this about Daniel Bryan, and who knows if they're going to be able to avoid turning him babyface. So we'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. I just think that Cody, it's strange, because my first instinct is Randy Orton, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's not fresh. Like so it's tough to think of the fresh matchup for him, like you say, because there's nobody out there.
Well, no, and I mean.
Maybe the draft. Maybe when the draft happens, we can discover something.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from the draft. Really, it's two shows and then the draft. So April 23rd, I guess, right, is when it's set to happen. That's definitely the possibility. I don't know. With the other thing though too is with one general manager, you know. What is it really? I mean, like I said, what is it
Let's
really?
Let's talk
matter?
A little bit about the one general manager. Let's talk about what happened with Teddy Long, and you didn't like this, from what I understand. What's your problem?
You know, something that I've said before, and it happens too often, really. And what it gets me disinterested in is when people. Part of it is that I would just want Teddy Long to go away. I don't think Teddy Long's been relevant for quite a while, and it's just time to, if not permanently, give him a rest.
see, and I disagree because I think he's popular. I think he's really good in his role, and I like Teddy. So I like seeing him around, and I think he can do something with his storyline.
He just doesn't do anything for me. But the big thing in the terms of the storyline, I hate storylines where they just bring people up and make shit up that's never been relevant before, never happened before. Like, you have grandkids, and there's a college fund. And I looked into this college fund, and you have to be the SmackDown general manager has a college fund for his grandkids. Well, did Paul Heyman have a college fund for his grandkids that he doesn't have then? Like, what? That's the most stupid thing.
And you're overthinking it. Maybe it didn't work for you, but the fact is the crowd reacted to it.
Well, the canned noise they put in worked
and,
for
and,
it? Yeah, whoa, that was great.
And Teddy, the way he sold it,
SmackDown,
like my kids are
off,
or my grandkids.
Audience.
My grandkids are off limits. The way he sold it, I think it's fine. I think it's effective enough.
Well, I mean, that's actually the same thing he told Rob Feinstein.
Effective enough?
No, my grandkids are off limits.
Oh. And Mel Phillips.
And Mel Phillips. Yes. Well, they probably know each other.
Oh, obviously,
because they were ring announcers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Again, we talk about. WrestleMania culminating feuds.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a feud that should have culminated at WrestleMania. Team Teddy, Team Johnny, winner take all. Well, it hasn't culminated shit. They figured out a way.
You're not looking forward to seeing Teddy cleaning toilets?
Well, yeah, exactly. Or Teddy, you know, getting David Otunga's laundry and, oh, there's a spot on my bow tie. Fix, you know, like, stupid shit. Don't fucking care. I didn't care that Teddy Long was the general manager. I sure as ain't going to give a shit that he's doing fucking errands. Like, especially when he said something and he said, give me a holla, holla, holla. I'm thinking, was that not his catchphrase in 2004 that he's pretty much never used again?
No, he uses all the time.
That sucks anyway. Seriously, I'm over Teddy Long. I was, when he got the general manager gig, I remember going, that's an underutilized fucking guy they have. That's a good move. But here we are, 8 years later, thinking, not so good, or whatever it is, 6 years later. I'm like, I'm done with it. Move on. Next.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm done with? You know what I'm done with is the heel authority figure.
Well, yes.
That's what I'm done with. I mean, you already start seeing it as soon as he starts booking R-Truth against the handicap match. And that's so boring.
Well,
he's done so many times.
Why do people keep that? I didn't
understand
that. It wasn't a handicap match.
That's Little Jimmy was that.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that spot where he tags Little Jimmy and gets out.
Yeah, I know.
And acts like, no, go ahead and wrestle him. And I thought that would have been hilarious.
He holds onto the tag rope, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that would have been great. And I was waiting for it, and then they didn't do it.
Yeah, not smart enough.
No.
But I am also over the heel authority figure. I'm just over the authority figure, period. Heel or
babyface.
That's
probably true.
I'm into the – to me, Jim Ross goes in as Jack Tunney. And he can come out every once in a while and make some decisions.
That's a great idea. I mean, if I can't have him actually calling the matches, which I'd be okay with.
You know, yeah. I know, but assuming you're not going to get that, then, he's the guy behind the desk that comes around, you know, 3-4 times a year when need be to lay down the law, and off you go.
You know, it's funny because you know who was really, you know who was actually pretty good, I thought, on commentary on SmackDown, Booker T. And I'm usually pretty – but the thing is, he had good psychology that he was actually spewing off, like things like, Randy Orton against Kane. Well, he took the wrong approach. He went head-to-head with him, and he'd be on his bicycle and this and that. And kind of getting the psychology of the wrestling in there. It's, unfortunately, he does it so gimmicky, the gimmicky voice and all this and that, that it kind of ruins what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
If he toned that down some – I think he'd be. I think maybe he could be good.
I like a bit of both. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I look at Gorilla Monsoon used to tell some of the psychology, but then also have his gimmicks, right? And you know
that was Gorilla Monsoon, dude.
I know, but I mean, there's no reason that Booker T can't do the same thing.
Booker T is gimmick all the time. Gorilla Monsoon knew when to.
No, he didn't. Are you kidding? Everything Gorilla Monsoon spewed was a fucking gimmick.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you something about Greg the Hammer Valentine, though.
Yes, yes.
It's 45 minutes.
Just to get warmed up. That's right. Yeah. And then when he gets warmed up, you hit him just right in the back of the occipital.
Different, though. It's just different. But I don't know. I thought Booker was pretty good in that show.
Yeah, yeah.
What else happened on SmackDown?
Nothing.
No? AJ broke up, or Daniel Bryan
broke
up with AJ?
Daniel Bryan broke up with AJ. I thought, you know what? for everything that I think is wrong with what they're doing, in terms of just, like, with Daniel Bryan, but apparently after the cameras went off the air, they actually called an audible. I don't know if it was Raw or SmackDown.
I'm pretty sure it was SmackDown.
Yeah.
Might have been Raw. You're right. He was in the dark match and he got the pin or something like that when he was supposed to.
No, he still got pinned.
Okay.
No, what was happening is that they were going to have like John Cena or CM Punk or
cut the promo.
Come out and
no, Sheamus was supposed to cut the promo.
Yes, thanking people. That it was. It was on SmackDown.
Sheamus.
And they had Daniel Bryan do it instead.
That's right.
And talked about his Yes T-shirt that's out now.
That's out now.
And whatnot. So, for everything that you can't judge that week's crowd in terms of what they're going to be, not every, you know, if they go to Nebraska next week, they're not going to get the same reaction.
They're in Washington, D.C. next week.
Yeah, okay. So they're not going to get the same reaction. But
let's, though, talk a little about the crowd, Daniel Bryan on Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and kind of, I don't know, go there first, and I'm curious of what you're thinking, and then I'll jump in with
I think you have to start on Sunday,
okay.
And you have to start with 18 seconds.
Best thing they ever did for his career?
Well, it very well could be, because people were chanting yes, all weekend.
Yeah, apparently they were walking down the street, would meet people in restaurants they didn't really know, and thought they might be. They just start chanting yes, and other people would get into it.
Yeah,
yeah, like
it
crazy.
It become like the new what?
Yeah,
you know,
that's it. That's what
on Raw. I mean, the yes was just now that crowd again, a smarter crowd, live crowd had all the yes, yes, yes. I mean, they were yesing. When Alberto Del Rio come out, they were going see.
Yeah,
right?
The fact is that they're the two most hardcore wrestling crowds of the year are at Royal Rumble and the Raw the night after WrestleMania.
Well, because WrestleMania with whatever they had, they announced the 8,000 or
whatever.
Yeah. I mean, on Raw here you had 13,000.
Speaking of which, I just want to throw this in there. Because we had so many entries, I haven't finished going through them all yet for our WrestleMania pool.
Okay.
We had
173 entries.
So I hope
175 if you count you and me, Mo. So it's actually 175.
Actually 175. So there you go. Next week, I hope to have it done. Anyways, go on.
Yes, that's good. So you went from 78,000, you went to 13,000. So probably 12,000 of them were from, out of town. Kind of thing, right? I mean, like these were the hardcores that were sticking around for the post show. So that said, those people though, will drive your audience. I mean, I look at back in 1997 when everybody knew that Raw was a better show than Nitro. The hardcores were the ones that were getting on and knowing that Austin was cool and saying you got to tune into this Stone Cold guy. They were telling people to tell people to tell people. Then all of a sudden, Mike Tyson come on, and people start to see Austin. They go, "That's an Austin guy that Addy's telling me about. Let me check this out." And they did, and it was great, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, with Daniel Bryan, the same thing can happen because he is that good.
Yeah, now that we know that he actually isn't boring, that he does have charisma, and he can have great matches.
Yeah, he's the total package. Well,
yes,
better than Lex Luger.
Much better than Lex Luger.
But just a chat. And he didn't kill AJ. So that was good. So
yeah.
Totally different. But if they could start chanting and they took over the crowd, we'll talk about my thoughts on the Raw crowd in general a little bit later because there's a better point that I want to make with them. But they got on Daniel Bryan. SmackDown, they got on with Daniel Bryan.
Apparently on SmackDown, they were just about as into him as on Raw.
But, of course, with the...
And that he was even more popular than The Rock on Raw.
Yeah. Well, and that's... I could see that, actually. Of course, on Raw, they only showed him for the couple seconds.
Yep.
On SmackDown, with the sound sweetening and editing that they do with that...
They piped in the boos. They piped in, some different chants and different things.
But they still couldn't cover it up completely.
Not 100%, but they did a pretty good job.
And even they did. And even when they did a recap of Del Rio talking to Sheamus there,
there was
on Monday.
There was a bit where
just they cut that crowd right out of it.
Yeah.
Because they're chanting Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's another thing.
Sheamus
was getting booed on Raw.
Yeah.
He was getting booed on SmackDown. You wouldn't know if you watched SmackDown. Let me tell you, there was nothing but cheers for Sheamus.
Yes. But he's getting Daniel Bryan. Well, of course, and they're going to do that. And that's my problem with it, is that, again, this is the, the old we know what you want better than you do thing.
So you don't – I have no problem with this. Do you have a problem with this?
I don't – The only problem I have with it, I don't have a problem with them doing that, is leading, if that's the way that they want to go. My problem is they shouldn't be going there. The way that they did it, in terms of, I think you're mocking me when you chant yes, I think that's clever.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to do that, I think that's the way to do it.
And then they chanted, no, no, no.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I think, yes, exactly. No, no, no. But I think you might have something with Daniel Bryan being so entertaining that it can be time to turn the switch if you go that way. I don't know by dumping AJ, by losing the act, this almost seems like he got cheered, we got to panic and make him...
He dumped AJ to try and get some serious heel heat.
Yeah.
And they cheered him for it.
Well,
they sweetened the sound.
Yes.
But they cheered him for it.
But... they were going to cheer him no matter what. That was sort of my problem with it, is that if you're going to do that, then...
Because this is not a crowd you can go by.
Yeah, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Just have him out or have him just, again, not say anything. Do the same thing on Raw.
That said, if this keeps going in the right way, it'll have been many, many years since there was a guy who was supposed to be a heel who was so overwhelmingly cheered that they had to turn him and he became a massive star. It's been many years. I mean, it's happened. A guy like Orton was tough for people to boo towards the end.
Right.
But not at the same level as this.
No.
As what this on this night felt like The Rock or Austin or even Brock Lesnar at one point when he was had his first heel run.
Well, when
they had to turn him.
Yeah, that's right.
This was more like the reaction. I don't know if it'll stay like that, but if it does, then they've got their. We talked about CM Punk being the guy who they could get rid of John Cena and turn him heel. It might be Daniel Bryan if it continues. I'm not sure it will though.
Punk kind of is that though. Like I could see it going around the same way as Punk in that Punk's a face and Punk's popular, but Punk isn't the breakout superstar. And
no,
Punk,
he's the breakout superstar. Daniel Bryan might be.
Punk cut that promo to be a heel.
Yeah.
Right, that infinite promo.
I don't think so.
I
don't think he cut that promo to be a heel.
I don't think he did. But I think they thought when he started running people down and complaining that this was going to be the whiny bitchy Nexus heel.
Are they that stupid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Why Brian Gewirtz is on this team. Yes.
Couldn't even finish the sentence.
But then it did, so to a lesser degree, this wasn't like Austin or Rock where crowds were turning and then they pulled it because this happened and then because of what happened they did. Because even Austin 3:16, wasn't immediate, right?
No, it wasn't, but it was inevitable.
Right.
And like I say, the last person I can think of where, it was there with Randy Orton, but not to the same level.
Yeah.
It was there with John Cena when they had to turn him.
Yep.
But really, John Cena is the last one I thought of that looked like it could be this strong.
And even when they did that, I mean, they turned him face to go against the Big Show for the U.S. title, right? That's why they turned him, because they wanted him on to be on Team Lesnar, and he said no or whatever. But that was really the beginnings of his babyface turn.
But it was inevitable at that point. He had been cutting such good, cool promos and fucking.
That's right.
Was over that they had to turn him.
He had to. Yes,
you're right. They could no longer get the heel reaction they wanted with them.
But
that's the thing. It's been a long time where it was just so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, even Orton towards the end, it was probably a 50-50.
You think of a guy that had to go heel. That was kind of overwhelming. I was thinking Edge.
Yeah, Edge.
Right?
Yeah, Edge had to go heel.
You know?
Edge came back as a babyface, got in Hunter's face when Orton unearthed the top heel. And people just didn't buy him. They didn't care when he came back. He had to turn heel.
Yeah.
Really found his character then. So it's true. Yeah, it can go either way. So, but this is the question, is if it's... this is what he is. But like I said, I don't have a problem with them sweetening the sound or whatever, because he is a heel, And I don't think you need to let the crowd hijack your television show in this case. Like, it was different, I think, when it was, like, when they billed themselves as ECW, and then they went into the Hammerstein Ballroom, an ECW stronghold.
Channel, yeah.
And instead presented a product that was decidedly not ECW.
Yes.
I think they got what they deserved, and they never went back there, and they said they'd never do that again, but I think they got what they deserved, and I didn't mind the crowd hijacking it, because they were really pissing in the crowd's face. So I didn't mind the crowd fighting back and hijacking it. This was a little bit different. This wasn't... They were
sort of, but I think the people that are hijacking are pissed about the 18 seconds to go back there. I think there were a lot of hardcore fans that were pissed about that 18 seconds because they were looking forward to a Daniel Bryan match, and that's fine. Neither one of us had a problem with it
because I didn't expect more 12 minutes anyway.
No, I know, but the thing was, is some people were pissed. That's all I'm saying. Right or wrong, some people were pissed, and those are the ones that were really the vocal ones. And let's go to when you talk about hijacking the show, the John Cena promo.
Well, I don't think we can get to that because we need to save that for the main event because that brings out the
preview. Well, let's
go back a little more into Punk and to Jericho then. What did you think of what they did with Punk?
I liked it because I've been telling you, I've been watching the Botchamanias, so I didn't really even notice a difference when I saw Jericho.
Well, okay, he slipped. But he saved it pretty quick.
Well, he slipped and then the bottle miraculously combusted above CM Punk's head and then went down. You know, he squeezed the bottle over his head and then it blew up and then he pushed it down.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. That's
and I didn't notice that. And on the, and you know what, I'm not
on the, on the SmackDown edit, you couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell.
No.
And I'm not the only one who didn't see that. I heard some people saying that they thought it was being smashed against the ring post.
He crushed it.
It doesn't really matter.
Oh, no. I just thought it was right after he slipped and then he did that. I went, oh, he's two for two here. And I mean, whatever. It's he's making them drink.
Botchamania's on YouTube, right? Funny?
Yeah, oh, fucking hilarious. Zeus against Abdullah the Butcher match.
There you go. That can't, how can that not
how
be funny?
That would be awesome.
Fucking right.
But, he's drinking, just waiting for Jerry Lawler and Aldo Montoya to be involved in this.
Yeah, it does remind me a little bit of the Jake Roberts, Jerry Lawler storyline.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't mind it, even though, because I had said to you, I didn't think this feud could continue, because, like, he beat him clean in the middle of the ring, it's over. Like, I didn't see where, but then Jericho did something so supposedly dastardly, smashing this bottle over his head, and there's contusions to the back of his neck, and psychological damage, and then you're like, man, I really want to see Punk get this guy again. And really beat the shit out of him this time. So it sets up an Extreme Rules match.
Well, it will. It'll be an Extreme Rules match. I mean, and Laurinaitis, I mean, a few things happened there, right? I mean, Punk stood up to Johnny Ass at the beginning of the show, right? Called him a tool and all that at the beginning of the show. And then, so he booked him against Mark Henry.
And they booked Mark Henry strong again.
They booked Mark Henry, yeah. Which, I don't like that just yet.
Oh, I do.
No, not yet. And I'll tell you why.
So you'd like it more when AEW becomes...
Exactly, because then he's the guiding force that's kind of taking this guy that's not having the best of luck and put it. Now, that said, the luck there is more in that sports agent role that you talked about where he's not going to get the next title shot.
Yeah.
And he had a great showing, so what the fuck do I have to do? Well, that's where I come in. Here's my card. You call me, I'll get you the title shots. I'll put the muscle with your hustle. Where you should have said hustle with your muscle, but that's
fine. He screwed that up.
Yeah. But anyway, so then you got Henry there. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then you got Johnny Ass coming out and saying, Punk, it looks like, and this is even before Jericho.
Yeah.
And this was interesting to me because, and I haven't heard, maybe I'm the only one that picked up on this, but he said that he sees some natural disasters in your future.
Yes, he did say that.
Yes.
So, Botchamania.
Typhoon?
No,
but you know what's a natural disaster is a tornado. You know what the classification of a tornado is? An
F5.
That was the first thing I thought of.
That's they're not that fucking clever.
No, I know. We were just talking about that they're not that smart.
They're not that. Fine. That's great if they did that. You're right. F5 is the worst level tornado.
Yeah, the tornado. So I mean, to lead there, if you're gonna do that.
Yeah.
I mean that. And I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but right now what I like is that there's so many ways that they can go.
Yeah.
And you talk about...
For Extreme Rules. We know
no,
where they're going
long
there.
Long term, though. But long term, I see lots of different ways that I could like. I guess, is the best way to put it. Because sometimes you see, oh, okay, what, you know, like you think in 1995, was he going to fight Sid now or is he going to fight Mabel? Like, I mean,
yeah,
either one you could see, but neither one you want.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now it's kind of like...
You know, well, even, like, that's one thing on SmackDown. If you have ADR there, you have Sheamus there, you have Dan O'Brien, I'm like, oh, wow. A title matches, and they're all fresh matchups.
That's right.
I am excited to watch SmackDown perhaps more than Raw just because I'm going, all the main belt is all fresh matchups after so many years of Big Show and Edge and kind of the same people,
yeah.
You know.
You have Christian still there,
Orton,
too,
yeah,
to
yeah.
fight.
But, yeah, I mean, we had Edge and Orton and Big
can,
Show and these.
You know what? Sheamus hasn't fought Kane either.
No.
I mean, it's not, you know.
It doesn't do anything
about,
for me because I hate Kane right now.
No, but if you're talking, like, over the limit.
But yeah,
you know,
but it's true though. I mean,
way,
as
right?
far as fresh matchups, well, there's a shitload over there.
It's like when
and
Benoit.
By the way, do you think
fought Kane? No, when Benoit fought Kane in that one pay per view, like even though it was not really, you know, they had the Eugene Hunter thing, but it was still a bigger name that Benoit could beat as a champion, right? That was there. So it was, you know, now Sheamus and Kane.
Do you think Sheamus will continue to get a heel reaction, or do you think that was just the crowd?
Oh, I think anybody that was fighting Daniel Bryan was going to get that.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Because even
he'll be an excellent.
Because even Del Rio,
tendencies.
They wanted to cheer Del Rio because they were booing Sheamus.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he come out and said you got a new challenger in me, they turned on him immediately and said no. That's when they started the Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's two other things about that. Number one, ADR just returned, so that always gets a big pop too, right?
Right.
Plus, he has what's his name, Ricardo.
Who had the best announcement.
He's so awesome, and he's just. That guy's a baby face, right?
Yes.
So regardless of what else is going on. Quickly, just because we moved off of it, they did the rematch, the Extreme Rules match between Kane and Orton. I think it was a shitty match. But what the fuck, right? Are you confused by this too? Is that just shitty booking?
Yeah. No, I wasn't confused. That was Orton was supposed to win at WrestleMania, and everybody figured that out. So they had Kane win, so now they had to give Orton...
So why didn't they do it at Extreme Rules?
I don't know. Maybe they have, you know. I have no idea. It just for
is
fun.
Is it over? God, I hope this is over.
I would hope it's over because it ended pretty convincingly. But I don't
that's
know.
That's just shitty booking.
I think that's just shitty booking. The only thing you could say it doesn't work for me. But the thing I could say is that you know they had an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
So if you saw that, that's what you can expect on the pay per view.
Yeah,
right, like that kind
of. Unfortunately, it still wasn't that good a match.
No, I didn't think. It was better than their Mania match.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Better than a 1.25 star match.
It's
going to be 1.5 star match.
With the Butcher. Better than their Mania.
Better than Mania. Yeah, that was a Mania match.
Yeah,
I thought so.
But
was he Z Gangster or Zeus?
No, he was Zeus. That's why.
Where
like,
was this? WCW?
No, this was like an indie show.
Oh, fucking.
Or it could have been in Porter. I don't even know. Like it was in a dark arena. I don't know. Like, I had no idea. It was like
a dark arena, and you could see both of them.
Yeah. Racist.
I didn't say anything. I just asking a question. You said it was dark. I would have said I would have said to say it if it was Sheamus.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's dark arena.
It's yes. Call a spade a spade. But all I'm looking at is we never finished on Jericho and Punk because we got onto those tangents there.
Yeah.
They went on to the Punk tangent. But you've got Jericho and Punk that can continue. And as it's in Chicago, my big hope with this is that, you know, as much as the tendency and the really the WWE mentality is to beat a guy in his hometown with Punk, I mean, I really want to have this long reign for CM Punk. I'm really looking to trying to have, you know, if he can take it, maybe not too Mania, because that seems like it's a bit long, and like we'll talk about that as, you know, after probably maybe a wrap-up or something, just with the different directions they can go. But as much as I have this feeling that Jericho is going to beat Punk in his hometown, especially after last year, with Punk winning the title in his hometown, I really want to keep that belt on one guy for, you know, if they could do it for 2 years, unbelievable.
If you don't do it at Mania, I don't see why the hell you do it.
Well, we talk about shitty booking, right? Like, these aren't geniuses here, right? I mean, like, really. I mean, they didn't go to booking one-on-one school. This isn't...
They're not... Well, you know what? They can learn how to book if they just attend Vince Russo's...
Vince Russo's seminar.
And then they'll be fine.
You know, let's hit this really quick, because that we talked about U-Shoot.
Yeah.
It's actually going to be an eye pay-per-view. Live.
Yeah. We're going to try and get a question in from Vinny Russo, I hope.
I hope so. There are VIP packages where you get to go to this thing and you get the booking seminar.
Holy shit.
Yes.
What a whore.
I know. Well, hey, why not? If you can get the money, you might as well get the money, right?
Well, that's what I tell your mom.
Yeah. Pimping ain't easy. But, I really do think that's the thing. It's going to be it should be a decent enough match. I don't know what kind of match it's going to be. Jack Daniels on a pole or something, but, you know. Speaking of,
I figured last man standing is my guess.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
But we know it won't be first blood.
That's true.
I figured last man standing.
Okay. Just trying to think of what else.
I just want to weigh in on this.
You certainly have.
I weigh in on everything.
A lot.
It's a wheat belly.
Yes.
But I just want to weigh in on this, nevertheless, even though my co-host is an asswipe.
Well, I wouldn't say less. But anyway.
Fuck it. Come on.
Fuck it. But I was moving on to The Rock.
Okay.
The Rock. Finally, The Rock has come back home. And he cut his promo there. They didn't get to do a WrestleMania. And this is where the crowd, because he opened the show.
Yeah.
And this is where the crowd, you just knew was hot when, he said something about, they chanted Rocky, they chanted You Still Got It for him. Then he said something about Jesus H. Christ, get this sumbitch. He was doing the STF, and I was saying GHC for Jesus H. Christ, get a sumbitch off me.
Yeah,
and then
they
chanted
it.
Yes. And then they chanted GHC, GHC, right? Yeah. So not THC, but GHC.
JHC.
JHC, that's it, JHC.
GHC, I believe, is one of the Japanese titles.
There you go, see? Yes, the Global Heavyweight Crown, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they could have been chanting that. Albert was there.
True.
Giant Bernard. But, The Rock come out. He did that. He talked about how, he was cut from the Canadian Football League.
That was great.
That was. How shitty you have to be cut from the Canadian Football League.
Too much you have to suck. I have a story here. Some listeners might have heard this before. I met The Rock only one time. I worked at a place. I was actually just working at a gas station across from where the Sal Dome is, where they were doing this. I was just working at the gas station, and he comes in looking for directions. And I'd just been reading in The Sun. The Sun had an interview with him. The Sun was one of the local papers. Had an interview with him, and they talked about how he was now a huge star.
Yeah,
how he
Calgary
actually
Sun. Bret Hart used to have a column.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're talking about how he used to play in the CFL. So The Rock comes in. At the time, he was in the middle of his Hunter and his feud, where he was the heel, just before SummerSlam.
He was with Mark Henry in the car.
He was with Mark Henry in the car. It was just before SummerSlam. Mark Henry, he didn't get out, though. He just pointed at something, and his fingers were the size of sausages. It scared the hell out of me. But your mom would have liked them, though.
Yeah. Did you bite his finger?
But nevertheless, so The Rock gets out. He asked me for directions to a restaurant. And I said, I don't know. I'll have to look it up, and they'll give you directions. I didn't know exactly where it was. So he gets out of the car, and he gets in front of me. And he is huge, by the way. And so I'm sitting there, and I just read this article, probably 20 minutes before he shows up, talking about how he used to be in the CFL before he became this. And I didn't know that. I didn't realize it at the time. And he's talking about, I used to be in the CFL, and I just read, the first little bit, and then I got busy, so I didn't finish it.
Right.
So he's in there, and I'm like, oh, man, I really want to interact with The Rock because, he's, my favorite wrestler right now, and I'm a mark. And I'm like, but I don't want to act like a mark.
No.
So what I'll do is I'll bring it up. I'll just be really subtle, and he'll think that I'm really cool and know lots of stuff. I'll just go, hey, you used to play for the Stampeders, right? And he looks at me and gets all confused. He looks at me and goes, yeah? And I go, I thought so. So he gets in gets his directions, right, and looks at me and says, thank you. Very polite. Gets in his car, drives off. So I pull out the paper. I finish reading. I'm like, I just talked to The Rock. And the next paragraph in there is, my worst time of my life was when I played for the Calgary Stampeders. I was sleeping on pee-stained mattresses that I had to pull out of things because my pay was so low.
Oh, that was nice.
I hated it there. I'm like, he must have thought I was the biggest dick in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like such an utter asshole.
Yeah.
So if I ever, I always said to myself,
so it, was an honest interaction you had.
So I was, if I ever do meet him, I'll bring it up and apologize.
Yeah. No, you won't.
Probably not.
No, probably not. But he does talk about how much you have to suck, and then he says...
It just looked like I was rubbing it in.
Yeah, yeah. But then he says he wants to make a promise that The Rock will one day walk down that aisle, WWE champion.
Yeah, that's big.
And that was the... So that's...
What does it mean? Well, I tell you one thing it means. It means that it's going to happen, or at least he's going to challenge for it, because he's not going to say it otherwise.
Well, that's just it, right? I mean, that's got to be somewhere in the... And what did he say in the plan? I mean, it's in The Rock's plan. So The Rock's, you know, got that... You know, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Whether with the title or not, he's going to challenge for it. Because he said he's going
to
challenge.
I've heard he looks... Even though he's filming four movies this year, he's looking to wrestle at SummerSlam and next year's Mania.
Okay.
So, I mean, would you give him the title shot at SummerSlam? Defend at Mania? Could you have a guy with the title not defend it for that long?
30 days.
Yeah, that means shit.
He's got to, yeah, he's got to be defending it 30, every 30, no. Nice. You know, you got two champions, I guess, but...
or does he just challenge for it and not get it?
It's also too soon.
I don't think you do that. I don't think if he challenges,
well,
I think
he's
got to
get it. Yeah, and the thing is that it's too soon for me. It's too soon for the whole champion and leave thing.
Yeah.
You know, from the Punk deal. It's only been a year. It hasn't even been a year. It'll be a year by SummerSlam, right? That whole deal, and it's like, yeah. I mean, you talk about short-term memories of people and shit. That's too short. It was 4 years ago, you know, all right, I wouldn't like it, but I could see. But a year now, and for it to be that big of a deal a year ago as well, you know, to be that focus of everything, I can't see him doing it at SummerSlam. So they'll do it.
And who does he challenge for the title? It's not going to be Sheamus.
Punk.
I guess.
He'd have to.
It'd be interesting.
I mean, and that could be your dynamic then.
Or could be Jericho, right?
You took, this guy's going to do what I did a year ago, take the title and run.
It could be Jericho.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I think he'd be more comfortable working Jericho.
Maybe, but I don't think comfort so much, I mean, in that...
I think it's more money if it's Punk.
Yeah, and I think that's more what I think to him it's fresh, is what it is. It's different. It's new. It's him interacting with some new people, and I think that.
How about if it's Orton?
Yeah.
What if Orton comes over, gets drafted over to Raw, beats Punk for the title?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I have something else with Orton, though. We'll talk about Orton in a bit, but I have something else with Orton. But actually at SummerSlam, I've got something else for Mr. Randall.
Don't talk about it in a bit, then. I mean, throw it out there.
I think he's Brock's first victim.
Okay, we will get to that a little bit.
Yeah. See? but to that,
we know Brock is going to be at Extreme Rules. I'm guessing it's not a match, obviously. How many matches is he going to have? Four? Three?
I say three. I mean, he's locked in for about, like I said, about 20 appearances or so. So it's two, three times a month. I think it's 20 to 30 appearances. I think it's at two, three times a month. So he's not going to be there all the time, but he's about half the time. And
that's almost every Raw, though. That's lots of more than... If it's 30 appearances, well, I guess if you take off pay-per-views.
If you take off pay-per-views, I mean, if you say... Let's say if you said 20, I mean, 20 would be twice two appearances a month, right? For 12 months, 24, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say. So... I think that's kind of the... So if you said 30, that's not in the realm of possibility because you could do the light load over
52 weeks, right? So...
Well, that's true. 52 weeks plus pay-per-views. So
once every 2 weeks with 26 appearances, three or four pay-per-views.
Okay, here's how you do it. But 52 weeks plus 12 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Right? So that's 64 in total. So he's going to do half. 30, less than half. Because then you probably have him on, like, The Rock every week going to Mania, right? So, and you might have him every week going to SummerSlam for that month of August, let's say. But then maybe only one appearance in July, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. But, you know, that way. But, you know, that said, what are we, we're still talking about The Rock?
Sure.
Okay. No, I'm looking, The Rock, yeah, if he's talking SummerSlam and Mania, you know, there's still lots of possibilities for that. So let's kind of wrap that up at the end when we talk about
okay.
putting all the key
players. I just
want to
say, what do you think about The Rock coming out, cutting his promo,
thanking
everybody, saying he's going to be champion, leaving and not showing up for the rest of the show, and that's his goodbye for however many months. Are you okay with that? Is that a good goodbye?
That's fine, yeah. Why not? Yeah, I mean, it because he's not gone forever. That's the first thing. I mean, and I think part of it is probably...
No, he'll never leave again.
Exactly. But I think that's part of it, is that, you know what, he's not leaving that. He said that, and then he saw how that got spun, so he's not going to say that, you know. And I think he did make, you know, he's got to go and make some movies or whatever. He'll be back or whatever. I think he said something briefly to that effect. But he didn't want to draw attention to it.
Yeah.
And again, that's part of that is him being a pro. I mean, look at how Austin retired. He just lost to The Rock.
Exactly.
Done, right?
Exactly.
That was it. No pomp, no circumstance, no nothing, right? Just, he was done. Until he comes back. But, no. but Rock's not done, but at the same time he realizes that he's done this and, you know, and the beat's got to go on, and he, and especially considering what was coming later, he knew he wasn't the story and it was just time to go.
Okay.
Maybe back. That's fine.
I don't really think there's anything else to talk about except for Cena and Brock.
Yes.
I think we've covered it all, haven't we?
I think that's it.
That's good. We're about an hour and 10 minutes in, so let's get to the main event.
To the meat and potatoes of it all.
Meat and potatoes, when you talk about Brock, yeah.
Brock Lesnar. Now, I want to start off with what I mentioned earlier, we talked about the hijacking from the crowd. And that's this was the culmination of the hijack. John Cena could have gone out and, you know, sang Metallica. And this crowd was going to do exactly the same thing. They were not listening to a word he said.
I'll disagree with that a little bit. See, don't get me wrong. They were not listening to a word he said, but it also doesn't help that everything
he
said...
Way to take a stand.
I usually take a sit, but I'm lazy.
That's right.
I was waiting for a fat joke there. No?
What? You're fat? I agree.
So, 37 pounds of brave over here. So anyways,
you leave my penis out of this.
Your penis is brave? Well, if it's been with my
37
mom.
Pounds.
All right. So.
Continue your point.
So you're 38 pounds in total. All right.
A lot.
Let's get to, what the fuck was I talking about?
No, it doesn't.
No. You talk about them hijacking him and they could have said Metallica?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, it's true that they weren't into him.
Well,
but it doesn't help that he
played bass guitar.
Hogan could have played, but it doesn't help that he came out there and cut just one hellaciously shitty promo.
No, I agree with that. But it
like, I mean, if he had been good, he could have won them over, at least to the point where they paid attention to him. They still would have booed him,
yes.
But at least they would have paid attention to him.
Yeah.
But when he cuts one of the most pandering, practiced, boring promos I've ever heard with no real emotion, phony, terrible promo.
Yeah.
And where his character comes off looking like a complete pansy because he just wants to go, Rock, you beat me. You're better than me. I'll shake your hand. Not, Rock, you beat me, but you know what? I'll be back. Like, would you have respect from somebody? Just terrible.
But he said, he's earned my respect, and I'm not going to come out here and cry because I'm going to, in life you lose and you take it like a man, and, you know, like that.
That's bullshit. People want to hear, you know what? You beat me, but I'm going to go get better? And I'm going to be back. And if you do hold that title, I'll see you again, Rock. I respect you for beating me. We've squashed this.
Yeah.
But just so you know, I'm going to get better. I'm not done. Show that some of that babyface fire.
I don't hate that promo as much as you did.
It's awful.
Because, I mean, I could hate that promo as much as you. But I would use that promo.
even the clips that they clipped of it on SmackDown, they didn't make it exciting. Usually they could fix anything, like we talk about Jericho and whatever. They couldn't even make this.
Again,
still couldn't make that
I
anything.
Keep going back to this, though, again, and it's until it happens, it's always going to now be that.
That pandering.
No, but until it happens, it's always going to be that question. Does he turn? When does he turn? Is this part of him turning? Is this? Because to me, it's so easy now. Is that this is especially? This has never been easier because he's lost to The Rock.
Yeah.
He loses to Brock.
He didn't lose to him, but
But when he loses to Brock is what I'm saying. Is that's what you do? You have him lose to Brock. He's coming out. He's giving all these concession speech, and then finally that frustration just mounts, and he's got to. Just, I don't want to say snap is the wrong word because that conjures up Bob Backlund and Crossface Chicken Wings, but just that's when he goes.
We're having chicken wings?
Pushes him over the edge. Easy. Easy there.
Honey, garlic?
Don't eat my face.
Teriyaki? Chicken wings.
It's not pretty, folks. It's not pretty. But, I think that to me, I look at every, because I want to see him go heel. But I don't want him just to go heel. I want to see him, give him an excuse to turn heel. And so everything I'm looking for is, can I use this to turn him heel? And I can use that to turn him heel quite easily.
Okay, you're right, except for one problem. And you had
we don't have any chicken wings on you.
But
you're out of chicken wings.
You don't have. I haven't had chicken wings since this morning.
I know. Breakfast of champions.
It's not bullshitting either. But I had it also last night. So I probably. No, I'm not good. I need some fucking chicken wings. Where? Anyways. What the fuck was that? No, here's the problem. If he faces Brock, what are you thinking? When do you think he faces Brock?
Well.
You have Brock against Orton, so. At SummerSlam.
Well, the thing is, I talk about different different ways that I could go with it.
Survivor Series, because that's probably Brock's next match, and then nothing till Mania.
It's Mania. Brock loses to Brock at Mania.
Okay, well, there's going to be a problem there. That if there's one guy that they're going to cheer him against, it'll be Brock, because Brock is a heel. Brock is one of the most natural. Naturally dislikable dudes around. Now, he got a huge babyface reaction because, A, he was facing Cena,
yes.
And, B, he was returning, but I don't care. Brock was a heel in the UFC. That's what made him a draw. He is like Floyd Mayweather. He just comes across like the guy who picked on everybody in high school because he could and is an asshole. He is not a likable guy. That is the problem.
And
against John Cena, that is the one guy... That is the one guy John Cena will be able to get a babyface reaction against.
I'm going
to
play devil's advocate here. Is that a good thing, then?
I don't know. I'm just saying what will happen.
Is that ideal?
Now, not if they do it right away.
But is this ideal in that Cena's booed against
Austin
everybody all year, right?
Not everybody,
all year. He gets booed. He gets his let's go Cena sucks is his booed thing. And then finally against Brock, they found someone that Cena gets cheered against, and he loses to him, and the next night that's when he turns heel. And then he got them to cheer for them, and then it's like, you fuckers, I gotcha. And they go, you asshole.
It's possible.
That's
possible.
Playing it,
but
right?
I just think that is the one thing. If they cheer him, they're not going to want to turn him.
See,
that's why if you put him against them, it's extreme rules, as dumb as that sounds. It's because Brock right now will get a babyface reaction, but the more Brock is around and Brock reveals himself and just is Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is just somebody who is not, you will not be cheering for.
You talk about reviewing himself.
Revealing himself.
But I'd argue.
Still talking about Mel Phelps?
Yes. LOL. But you're also looking at the fact that, the way I look at it is that the UFC did more to kind of tell us who Brock Lesnar is than WWE did in terms of this personality that you describe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that WWE is going to do that if he's not just going to be the silent killer. He doesn't have – Heyman ain't coming.
Heyman ain't coming.
And Lesnar's not a WWE scripted promo guy.
No.
So they either let him do it himself or he just is the silent killer. And the silent killer will get over as a babyface.
I don't think so. I just do not see Brock ever succeeding as a babyface.
Well,
and partially I'm skewed here because I don't like him. I find him dislikable personally.
Really?
Extremely.
Because he's fucking Sable?
Well, that's one thing.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
you know what else Brock has that you don't? Chicken wings.
Oh, fuck. Anyways. But that's my problem with it. Now, how do you use that? I think you're right. You can do that. You can have that would be the ultimate heel move for Cena.
Yeah. But I just think
that the second that he's getting cheered and they look at the merchandise he sells, they still need somebody to replace the merchandise. They need that.
They do.
Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I mean.
No, they do.
I'll tell you this, though. I mean, there is a feeling that there is more star power and that there is...
Power?
Well, I've had a couple of these drinks now.
Yes, these banana-flavored Jim Cornette specials.
All right, awesome. But vodka milkshake. Mm. Oh, tasty. What were you talking about?
Continue.
I don't know.
Queer.
Remember when
George Takei was on the show? Oh, now I'm certain. No, you met him.
When Lawler called Goldust that, and they bleeped it.
Yes, that's right. It's when his promo, when Hunter was trying to bang Marlena.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway, I just look at, you don't think he's Brock to get cheered? I just think at this point, and who
he will be
again,
for the first little while, but by a year's time, no, I don't think so.
And again, it also is going to depend on the crowds. Like, we'll know more in a month. You know, with the Daniel Bryan thing, we talked about the crowd,
yeah.
Brock Lesnar as well. Just to get, you know, because, again, we had a really hardcore, so they were, I mean, hell, they were chanting for Brock Lesnar.
Before it showed up. Which
before
means
he
they
showed
knew,
up.
Yeah, exactly, which means these are the people who are trolling the message boards and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. But, and again, that's part of the reason that they weren't even going to, you know, they ignored Cena,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, chanting, you're a loser.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Go away, loser.
Yeah, go away, loser. That was excellent. I could just go away, but I'm
this
not
was,
going
like an
to.
ECW,
and then go
like
away,
an ECW loser. Crowd, or I guess you, New York, Montreal, Chicago, maybe.
Yeah.
Places like that have this type of crowd, right?
Yeah, a hardcore
ECW,
crowd. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. So we'll get a better idea. But that's, to me now, it's, that gets to the question, that email question we talked about. Is they asked, it was Bannable,
awesome.
Emailed. And he just said, what do we do with Brock? How do we book Brock? And what do you think, how do you think they will book Brock? Because that's clearly going to be two different things here.
Yeah. go ahead, because you obviously have thought this out a little bit more. And while you do, I'll kind of think of my...
Well, the thing is I look at... I have a few ways that I could go with Brock. And it's just a matter of, I don't mind going the star power route with Brock.
If he's only having three matches.
Yeah, but.
You don't put him in there against, you know, Yoshitatsu if he's only three matches.
Well, three pay-per-view matches, right?
Probably, I don't know.
I would give him three matches to begin with, but.
I don't know if there'll be any Raw matches for this guy.
I wouldn't think so. I would hope. Like hell, that there wouldn't be.
Yeah,
but
I'd be amazed.
They probably want him jobbed to Steve Austin with no notice.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, you remember when Mick Foley went to TNA? He had like six matches, and they blew like four of them off in a month on television.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I still think though that
they did that with Slayer too, and they had to book around it for the next month.
Well,
I think
that's why RVD went away for so long, is because they used up all his dates or whatever.
So stupid.
So, but I think with Brock, I said I start with Orton.
Yeah.
And the reason I start with Orton is because he's got the credibility.
Yeah.
He's really kind of persona non grata right now. So you're not really losing out on anything right now. Like, he hadn't been booked strong in God's
No, he hasn't been booked overly strong. On the other hand, he's still a big star.
Since yeah, exactly. Since the previous SummerSlam,
he's a little bit of Teflon, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And the other thing about Orton, the other thing
Orton
is...
Orton was the youngest champion, breaking Lesnar's youngest champion.
That. I was going to say Orton is, when motivated, one of the best workers, and Brock might need to be carried a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But, no, there's that, right? So that's why I start with Orton. And then you can go a couple of different ways with it at that point. This is where it sort of gets kind of splintering, where I could see you go Survivor Series. I could see you taking on, you know, well, maybe let's say The Rock then. If The Rock doesn't come back for SummerSlam, maybe does Survivor Series, something to that effect.
The Rock doing Survivor Series, don't be ridiculous.
I know, right? I know. Get some buys. But, I mean, but there's that where you could do that. You could do The Undertaker at that point as well. I mean, I don't think, and again, I think Undertaker would be a WrestleMania match. So you could do John Cena at Survivor Series and The Undertaker at WrestleMania then,
mm-hmm.
right? To build that, I only got one thing left to do, and that's going to be to break the streak. And then I'm leaving,
mm-hmm.
you know. The other thing you could do that I throw out there, but that involves a couple of different layers. But one thing I would love to see happen at, if it is going to be just a year, right? I mean, anything could change, too. I mean, this I don't expect this relationship to go well, but it could. And that, you know, he could stay.
Mm-hmm.
And if he get a similar deal, maybe less money, but a similar deal for the next year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, both say like, and then...
He's like 36 or something,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
I mean, things could change. You take like Sting does in TNA, where you just go year
yeah.
by year, right?
Yeah.
But if, let's just say that there is no more, that there we're only getting one more year of Brock.
Yeah.
We'll just say 2012 is a year of Brock, let's just say.
Yeah.
Then there is the possibility that that I put Wade Barrett over Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Really?
And I...
Wade Barrett?
Wade Barrett's the guy I pick.
Okay, why not?
I mean, just the size-wise, we see a lot in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those future stars. I mean, you could go with Sheamus as well if you wanted to, something like that way. But I think Barrett could just get more out of it. Never been the champion, never been, you know, this is now his solidifying. He slayed the dragon, he beat Brock, he did what Randy Orton, what John Cena couldn't do. He's the guy. And he comes in, and that would ultimately turn him as a babyface. Because he's got to come back from injury as well, right?
That they actually could book. What do you think, now that they had Rock versus Cena, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I hear they did a lot of buys, according to ESPN.
Yes, I did hear that. But we also know the source on that.
That's true. Do you want me to call him?
Do you want to give him a quick call here?
Do
you
have a call?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if anybody's. Well, let's get it right from the source. There. So, is he on the line? He's on the line. Okay. Hi, Doc. Is that you?
Great, Scott.
Doc, it's you. Doc, you got to tell me, how many buys did WrestleMania? According to ESPN, how many buys did you tell ESPN that WrestleMania got this year?
1.9 million buys.
Ah, all right. See, thanks so much, Doc. Well, we're going to have you on again, but we got to get running. We just wanted to give you a call and get that straight from the source. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's 1.9 million buys, according to ESPN.
According to ESPN, and they got that, from Doc Brown. It was good.
Well, it has to be, because it's...
He was in Suburban Commando. There's a connection. He was also...
It has to be Back to the Future. It has to be 1999 for them to be doing 1.9 million.
That's true. Well, I remember the creative team, but Doc Brown. But anyway,
We will have a full interview with Doc Brown.
We will. We will have a full interview with Doc. But I go from Doc to Brock... As I said, I just think that you were talking about a lot of buys.
What is the apps, now that they've done this match, what is the match they can book for next year's WrestleMania which will draw the absolute most money, in your opinion?
Ooh, See,
for me, it's simple. To me, the match that draws the most money, it's I go number one. I go Rock versus Undertaker.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. Number two, Brock versus Undertaker. No, actually, number two, Austin versus Undertaker. And number three, Brock versus Undertaker.
What about Brock versus Rock?
I don't think that there's the same amount of buys as Rock versus Undertaker.
Well, you're right. You're right. But I did Brock versus Rock.
So I would do Rock versus the Undertaker at next year's Mania if I'm in charge of creative, which means I would have Brock against somebody else, maybe Steve Austin. So one of the things I'm looking at with Brock is who was he comfortable facing? And he talks about the opponents, and Ross has talked about the opponents, and they're on each other's short list of opponents, apparently, if they ever were to be able to work it out.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I get that. I just, as I said, that's the first part, is what I do.
Yeah. Well, how much money would that, if you had WrestleMania next year with Rock versus Undertaker, and you had Austin versus...
I understand that. I would do...
That might do $1.9 million.
I'm starting
to... $1.9 million.
No.
I'm starting to look, though, is if we talk about, you know, what where do we go? And what happens, you know, when you have Taker and Michaels and Hunter and Rock and Cena and all those guys coming back and you do all that, you know. The only reason I throw Barrett in there is because you gotta have something come out of this, in my opinion, right? You gotta have.
This is for me, this is both what they would do and what I would do. I mean, ideally, if I'm in charge.
Oh, they'll never do this.
I would love to see Rock versus Undertaker because I think that's the biggest
one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And I think Austin versus Brock. To me, if I could have those two matches, I would have those two matches, and then I'd have something like Punk versus a Barrett, something like that, or Cody and. These things and elevate these guys into.
See, that doesn't elevate. That's the thing is when you've got these two guys. And part of the reason that they talk about the business being cyclical and all that shit, right? Is that
well, it depends. I mean, did
Brett never got to beat Hogan?
No,
right? And Yokozuna got to schmoz Hogan, right? With that flash.
But then
camera,
I do my other matches. I do probably, like I say, I don't know. I would put Punk against like a Barrett or something like that, or Cody Rhodes, whoever gets up there. I go Cena versus Daniel Bryan at Mania next year. Then. So.
Yeah. I mean, you
that would
could,
be my top.
Could,
those would be my top three matches. Cena versus Bryan. So that'd be my top three matches personally if I'm booking it for next year.
I like the Taker Rock dynamic. I do like the Taker Rock dynamic. I don't know that you need Austin. You know, in fact, part of the in all this would almost prefer that he kind of just stay retired, you know, and just the Ric Flair, the Ric Flair retirement song said, leave the memories alone, right? I mean, that's kind of the, you know.
And if he does stay retired, then I do Brock versus Punk. And if I do Rock Taker,
Like Brock Punk. I don't like Lesnar and Punk because, you know, it's just. As much as, you know, Punk can hang, it's just, I don't know, I just don't like the visual. You know what I mean? I don't like the visual.
I don't have an issue with that.
I don't know. To me, it's
you
just...
You can have a great match.
And that's part of why I do Barrett.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, it's like, okay, but...
Or Sheamus. I mean, Jack Swagger is like a distant third on that list, right? I mean, I know you want to sleep with Jack Swagger, so you probably think it's a good idea, but he's in terms of the size, the height, the amateur, you know, ability, they would have to do a hell of a great, like, tomorrow booking him.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a possibility. But I think, as I said, I think Sheamus has already got that belt. So Sheamus is kind of there-ish, right? He's kind of got it. But I think Barrett's the one that can use the, you know, get the most rub from
See, I don't mind Punk. I like Punk versus... I don't think it's any different for Punk than it has been against a lot of other big guys. I don't think it matters, really.
Well, no, I mean, that's
true. I look at Eddie Guerrero versus Lesnar, what a great match that was, and how the difference...
Eddie Guerrero was a worker.
So is Punk.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Eddie Guerrero was a good worker.
So is Punk.
Oh, fuck off. Punk's a good worker.
Sure he is.
Yeah, no, what an awesome elbow.
Okay, maybe he needs to stop the Randy Savage
those
elbow.
Kicks, those punches, yeah, just beautiful.
Yeah, I think he's a good worker.
He's a decent worker. He ain't Eddie Guerrero.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, though, visually them side by side.
Oh, sure.
I don't think
sure.
It's
no,
anymore.
And I understand
anymore.
What you're saying there, but then you said he had got a good match, and I thought, okay, that's two different things. But because I would expect a match would be fine. As I said, it's just the visual there. And truth be told, I'd like...
how about Ryback? 1 year against Lesnar.
Well, who knows? I mean, again, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Again, to me, Barrett's just can get a better right now, today.
Mm-hmm.
It's Wade Barrett for me. But Punk, I want to be the champion. So I always look at these.
If I'm going with Wade, I'd rather see Sheamus than Wade Barrett. Also, because again, I don't want
to
see Wade Barrett as a babyface.
I'd like
Sheamus as a babyface versus heel Brock. I could see.
I don't mind seeing Sheamus and Wade Barrett maybe before or maybe after. It depends on when Barrett comes back. I would like to see that.
I think that'd be a great
match.
Another fresh matchup.
But I don't think but not Mania.
Yeah.
Again, if you're gonna, the whole point of this is Rock and Taker is fine because mm-hmm. you're just using it's another legendary gimmick streak.
It's no different than Shawn Michaels or
Hunter
against
right.
him, right?
Exactly. And then I presumably I see, and then I have again you've got Lesnar, so that's why I do Lesnar Bear. So that's another match there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got Punk is the really I would. Punk is the world champion.
I see Punk versus Lesnar because my ideal matchup would be Bryan versus Lesnar, and that's where I think the visual is too much.
Yeah. But again, is Bryan still a heel?
Well, not if he's facing Lesnar.
No,
Lesnar will be a heel.
Do you keep?
1 year from now,
Daniel
we'll
Bryan.
We'll see.
I see, because that's
the thing. Here's the thing about Daniel Bryan. He's going to turn babyface and going to be successful as one.
Yes.
It's just a matter of whether or not the audience turns him now, or whether or not he turns later on.
Yes. Well, that's
we just
sense.
Don't know the momentum, but it will happen.
Okay.
So a year from now is,
Well, no, I'm just because if Brian's still a heel,
mm-hmm.
then I would do Punk versus Brian.
That'd be awesome.
And I would do that. And then you would have Sheamus or whomever on the SmackDown side as, as the championship match. And to me, that isn't even, that's still one of those sort of to be determined things because. You could have Sheamus up there, but I would think that Sheamus could be your chase at that point because,
like I said, I don't think the Cena versus Brock for me is Mania because I don't think you can hold off on it that
what
long.
What about Cena and Sheamus?
Seen it.
Yeah, I guess no, it's not in a while, but yeah, I guess.
It doesn't excite me. It's not fresh. I want fresh matchups right now. Well, except for Undertaker Brock, that would be my number two choice for Brock. Like I say, because.
Well, but that's a legend.
That's the second
match,
most.
Right?
That's
a legend.
So I mean, I really look at it and I go, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can hold off. I don't think it makes sense for Cena's character and Brock's character for you to hold them off all the way until next year's Mania. I think they need to go at it at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I honestly I could see that. The way that they've done that. I could see that. That's the build, and that's about as long term as they go.
Yeah.
Right? So I could see that. As I said, I would prefer it to have been Orton just because.
I would love, my preferred guy for Punk would be Austin. No, it would be Austin.
Oh, for Punk.
Like if I could pick for Punk, my ideal guy is Austin. So I think that would be tremendous. I think the promos would be tremendous. I think it would be a great dynamic. I really think they could have something special.
But Punk would have to be a heel or face-face?
It doesn't. I think at some point, it's much like... It's like Undertaker versus or Shawn versus Taker. You get to a certain point where the guys are just over, and it's no longer about heel face.
Oh yeah, no, and that's true. And in 6 years, Punk will be there, but he ain't yet. I mean, Punk's been a top tier guy.
Yeah,
for
so Punk,
eight
Punk
months,
goes against
right?
no, but it doesn't matter who's gonna. If Austin ever came back,
uh-huh.
he'd be heel. But I mean, no matter who faces Austin, will be a heel. The point is for Punk, it'd be worth it for him to be a heel. It doesn't matter for. It's not as damaging for him to be a heel, and be booed against Austin as it was for Cena.
No, that's very true. That's true. I just look at it like.
But trust me, he'd be happy being the heel if he got to work with Austin.
Well, I just look at that continuity, which is so important. And honestly, then, if you are going to do that and you turn him heel, and then, I mean, he's in that, Punk's a heel, really.
And the same thing with Punk against Rock.
But
that's something else we've talked about. That's where the visual, I don't think the visual, really, Rock's the same size as Lesnar, right?
Yeah, I guess so. He isn't as menacing, I guess, you know what I mean? He doesn't have that, tank, Sherman tank kind of, like Lesnar does. And that's kind of you're right, though, he probably is exactly, I mean, what is he? He's 6'4", 275 pounds.
I think he's 6'5", 265, and Lesnar, I believe, is 6'4", 275. Really, eventually, virtually the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brock's like closer to 300 right now. I mean, he'll die.
Yeah,
down.
He definitely doesn't look like he's been juicing up yet, but he'll get there.
No, that's true.
That's one thing I know about
him. He did on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But,
when he came out against Barry Stevens, he
yes. But, what about Ryback and Lesnar?
Yeah, I already said that. I think that'd be interesting a year from now.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on where it goes.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, so, that's the thing.
And you still got, you could have Lesnar around for 6 months. And who knows, maybe 6 months, 9 months from now, you're looking for an opponent for him. And that's when you get a one match off for Big Dave, and you have a Big Dave versus Lesnar match. I mean, maybe even they work out a way to get Goldberg against Lesnar in there again one more time in a rematch and put Lesnar over.
Yeah.
Just because Goldberg is really good friends with Lesnar. They're very close.
You know what, though? Yeah.
Probably it's unlikely, but I'm just throwing shit out there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, if that relationship sours to that point. No, really. I mean, that would be the only way you would see it. Because, I mean, as we just went through there, I mean, we've got...
I could see Batista
versus
Lesnar.
Yeah, but we have a multitude of ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know who really wants to see Lesnar and Batista? The man they call B. Really, that's like...
I'm sure it is.
He said that for years.
Don't ever show them their YouTube match when they're both so green in
OVW.
But that's terrible. But
that's what he wanted to see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's
years.
The thing. Again, would that be money? Absolutely. You put that third from the top or whatever, second from the top?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a money match.
It,
right?
it
it's
would,
all about money.
It's all about the money.
Money.
It would be. But again, we just went through, and I find that one unlikely only because, or anybody unlikely. Only
I'm not
because,
even talking about likely or unlikely.
No, I'm
just
saying
out.
Because we've come up with enough sort of scenarios of the talent that
yeah.
they've got there. That, well, that would be, that to in case you're going to come back for another year, you know, Batista 55 at that point might be able to do it.
So about the same age as DDP when he got in.
That's right. That's right for
well,
Crybaby.
32 year younger.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, that's that is tremendous. We haven't talked about the live SmackDown that I opened with next this Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, we had Raw on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Promising
guys from the Legends House are going to be there.
The Legends House guys. So Jimmy, the Mouse of the South, Hart, Mean Gene, fuck it.
I think Fink is going to be there.
Fink will be there. Hillbilly
Jim. Is Dusty there?
I don't know what Dusty. Maybe, yeah, Dusty. Piper.
Piper. Okay.
I thought I tweeted that I want to see a pit with Daniel Bryan.
Oh, fuck, that'd be great.
I know, right?
That'd be just awesome.
So.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to that.
So, John Laurinaitis could host a Brother Love show
with that suit?
AJ, with that suit that gave Bruce Pritchard.
Did you notice that on SmackDown they showed a highlight of it?
Yes.
The pan to the wall where the suit was on the wall?
Yeah, because one of the Bellas was commenting on it, I think. Yeah.
Was that? Yeah, it was SmackDown.
Yeah, it was on
right?
SmackDown.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was when one of the Bellas beat, Nikki beat Beth Phoenix with Kelly Kelly's help.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we should talk about that for another 20 minutes, though. I think we're done.
I think
we're done for the night.
I think
we're going to do our
it.
Plugs and get the hell out of
we
here.
We don't want to talk about how the cunt extended the Spike deal?
No, we're not going to talk about Dixie.
Okay. Well, all right. So let's just talk
TNA
about...
TNA is just happy that they have the Spike decided to renew with them instead of find another wrestling company to go with. That's all we'll say.
Yeah.
It's renewed for another couple of years.
Yeah, it is. And
it means nothing for me because, you know, I'd have to be interested in their product.
Well, that's true. It's good for them. So, I mean, that's all I'll say about that. It's not it's not the worst thing that ever happened to the wrestling business. Let's put it that way.
It is not Chris Benoit killing his wife and kid.
What?
The worst thing that ever happened to the wrestling business.
No. No worse than that.
Name it.
Huh? Oh, fuck. That did nothing to the wrestling business. The beat goes on, as they say with that. No, really. I mean, Benoit killing his family... you know, while there was a little bit of publicity on the Benoit, Nancy Grace had a field day with it, and Brian Alvarez got to be on TV. That's about all that did.
I didn't see Brian Alvarez. I saw Rhea Ripley.
What are they talking about WrestleMania? You know, they're talking about, you know, a million buys last year, a million buys this year. The beat goes on.
I think I don't think we know from the inside, from the outside, just how much the pressure was and how much it actually did influence the business. It influenced it quite a bit.
Oh, it influenced the business.
It was one of the it was a big hit, and it certainly
didn't hurt the business one iota, I don't think.
I would disagree. I think you hear the guys talk about it and they go, that nearly killed the business. The guys will say that.
Well, they thought it was going to kill the business. As we thought it was going to kill the business.
I didn't think it would kill it, but...
Or at least...
I think a lot of people, they won't tell you that they thought it would. They'll tell you it almost did.
Yeah, I was looking at Titan Gate for this, right? Like, this was going to be another steroid, federal government steroid trial type thing.
And if they had gone to that level, then that would have been...
They went to that federal Waxman thing and found out... That's where you found out Dixie was a retard. And the whole thing...
And Stephanie was, too.
Yeah, well, not as big. Stephanie is a worker. Dixie was a retard.
No. Dixie was a retard, and Stephanie was not a retard because at least she knew about her own company, but nothing else.
Well, that's fine, yes.
Which is more than Dixie knows about.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah. I mean, the ratings to me went down just as much as they were going to go down. The buy rates went down just as much as they were going to go down. The business itself took a blip, but not even. So,
So what do you think is the worst thing that ever happened to the business then?
You know, it's...
You know what? Maybe it could be. Then, if it's not that, how about WCW closing its doors?
Yeah. Well, that is the worst thing that's happened to the business. And I would say, as I said, I would say Titan Gate would be number two. Then
maybe
that would do, because that really constricted. Because what that did is that took away
business went way down.
Well, you know why? The thing was there? No. But the thing, what that did, what Titan Gate did, is that immediately took off guys like the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan that were on top, and it took them away. They said, we talk about guys like Bret Hart never, you know, that.
See, for
that
me, it was good then. I got to watch guys like Bret Hart instead.
Yes,
I prefer.
That next generation never got to. There was no torch pass.
No torch pass.
And so
part of that's not because of that. Part of that's because of Hogan's a dick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We're not saying that the torch would have been passed, but this really abruptly took it in a place where, like, Bret Hart was not. If you said who's going to be the next WWF champion, you wouldn't have said Bret Hart.
No.
Right? You would have said, you know, Macho Man, or even Razor Ramon was getting built up at that point, right? So Bret come out of nowhere, and then, so you really were kind of starting from scratch, and it worked out well, but...
Yeah, sure, it opened the door for Shawn Michaels,
exactly, but WCW closed the doors, definitely was, because that's the hit that you see in terms of business.
Okay, you're right. The other thing that I mentioned is the worst thing that ever happened in the business.
Yes, oh, I agree with you there, but not to the business.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
I'll agree
it's the most vile, heinous thing that's ever happened involving wrestling, absolutely.
Because we don't know about Jimmy Snuka, it's not well publicized.
That's right. Well, and I mean, but at least then there's no, there's a, what they call reasonable doubt at this point. I mean, really, I mean, you can't, you know, but Benoit, right? I mean,
no.
He done offed him.
Sensitively put, as always.
In the meantime, no. WeTalkWrestling.podomatic.com is where you can leave comments on our show.
Hey, if you guys don't ever go visit that and just, like, read the comments, that some of our fans are a hell of a lot funnier than us. I don't know, what do you call them? Listeners?
Listeners.
They're both. Well, at least they're fans of me.
Yeah.
But some of them
you need a few fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets
hot. It's hot in here.
Yeah.
Seriously, this room. Anyways, but, now if you guys don't ever go and read those comments, you want a good laugh, and you just go back and read a few of them. Our fans are the best.
They're good. Yeah.
The listeners are the best.
Yes, there you go.
Both
listeners again. Anyway, so that's WeTalkWrestling.Podomatic.com. You can also download the show there. You can also go to WeTalkWrestling.com that has our WeTalkPodcast.com.
It's got a direct link to it, it's all up to date now, and there's some good stuff. I'm going to do a blog on some things. I have some ideas for. I think people find fun.
In July. And,
could be that.
It could be.
Well, we do have hopefully some interviews with some actual celebrity wrestlers coming up at the
celebrity wrestlers.
I don't know what you call them. Now, were they on that celebrity wrestling?
Willis?
Or Willis. Were we talking to Willis? Trishel? No.
Tiffany?
Tiffany.
Was Carrot Top on the show?
No.
Oh, Danny Bonaducci.
Same guy.
Danny Bonaducci.
But anyways, we're hoping to actually get a chance to talk to a couple people.
Some real wrestlers.
And Kizarni. And Mr. Beefy.
I'm only kidding, anyway. Folks. We're not going to talk to Kizarni.
Well, Addie won't. I'll talk to him.
Well, yeah, you'll talk to Addie's
wife.
Yeah.
Still do her.
Pussy's pussy.
Sure.
Anyway, Addie_WTW is Twitter. @WeTalkWrestling is also Twitter. Mo_WeTalk.
That's M-O, no E.
Okay. _WeTalk just for the Twitter plugs there. But, yeah. That's
Mo What We Talk Podcast.
Sure, Mo We Talk Podcast. Addie, A-D-D-I-E, @WeTalkWrestling. .com for the emails there, but no.
Check out We Talk Podcast. You can find our stuff there, and I think the site's got some improvements happening that Addy finally approves of.
Yeah, I do. I do approve of. I do approve of our presence on that website. spruced it up. Give it that much-needed life to it.
All right.
But anyway, that's going to be it. So in the meantime and in between time, thanks again. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night.